Happy Thursday, May 18th on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, everybody's favorite podcast. Yeah, I said it, Ira. Everybody's favorite podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Of course, Ira Kaufman, if you're just tuning in for the first time, Tampa Bay's sage of all things sports, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And Ira, we are nothing without Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon during the Memorial Day sales event. Get it, Ira? Memorial Day, because Ed Morse has more always. You'll get more savings all month long, like 2017 Escalade, $739, zero down. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, your 2016 dealer of the year, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. Of course, see dealer for all the details, and the offer expires at the end of this month. And at Ed Morse Cadillac, Brandon, Ira, again, also a Memorial Day sales event all month long. It's not just Memorial Day weekend. It's all month long. Get more selection, more customer benefits at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Right now, you can drive off in a 2017 XT5 luxury crossover for only $399 a month, zero down. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon to get more, or click edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And, of course, see the great folks at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon for all the details. Another offer, great offer that expires the end of this month.
You're making up those numbers, Steve. They're not realistic. That's crazy. You're making up those numbers.
No, they're real. They're real for sure, Ira. And we're always proud to present everything at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I know you're always presenting them with your full wardrobe that you wear.
Absolutely.
From the hats to the shirts. I don't want to know anything beyond that. I will keep this a G-rated podcast.
I wear the hat on the tennis court. It's very intimidating, Steve. I've had people tell me they can't focus on the tennis ball. They're watching that hat, baby.
Interesting. I like that. It's intimidating. And you need all the extras you can get out
all
there.
All the extras, especially if I'm going to play Miko down the line. Which, you know, it's still viable, Steve. It's still out there.
A little Bobby Riggs action there. I saw that on Twitter. Some people were
Bobby Riggs
conjuring Bobby Riggs and Billy.
Am I going to be
King.
Carried in like a king on a throne, like Riggs was?
You're a pig, like Riggs. Didn't they call him the pig or something? Wasn't that like a nickname of his?
Yeah. Now, Steve, time is flying, and here's what I mean. And I just realized this, Steve. In less than a month, and Mr. DeCamper is now here joining us. Lee, in less than a month, the Bucks will have wrapped up OTAs and mandatory mini camp, and they'll be going away for 5 or 6 weeks, players, not coaches. But, you know, the coaches will be telling players, see you in 5 or 6 weeks for training camp. We're less than a month away from that. And I want to assure our listeners, Steve, and back me up on this, during those 5 or 6 weeks, you're still going to get the podcast. You're still going to get the columns. And Joe Bucks Fan will continue to roll. We don't have a six-week break over here, Steven.
Ira's columns, of course, pop Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They, too, are presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The podcast twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday. And, of course, Ira, you know, most people, of course, you have your diehards who listen the moment the podcast comes out. But most people, they download it in their car, on their phone, they're listening. They're listening the next day. They catch up on a couple. It's never ending. The podcasts are available at iTunes, podbean.com. You could subscribe at both places.
I'm not sure we've missed a podcast since we started, Steve.
At both locations, Podbean, iTunes, you can subscribe absolutely free to get an alert. And then the podcast appears in your phone or on your app. It's fantastic. It's easy. And it's just really the way to go when you want to know if Ira's talking again. All right, so Ira, speaking of, I'm glad you mentioned what's coming, which is spring practices.
June 15th is the end, Steve. That is the final date.
15th?
June 15th.
Oh, how's it, 25th? I thought it was later. Maybe it's 18th or something like that.
I don't know.
But you might be right.
My original research
You're usually
says
right.
the 15th.
You're usually right. I'll give you that. That's definitely not the 25th.
But it's coming up.
It's right in there. Anyway, OTA is coming up now, spring practice. What do you look for when you watch underwear football, Ira? What's meaningful to you in underwear football, and what's just a joke? What's your feeling on it?
I'm going to look at the guys that have a lot to prove, even though it is, in the words of DeCamper, underwear football. Lee, you've got a patent on that.
It's actually a Raheem.
But Raheem, for instance, Lee, I'm gonna be looking at right guard, and I'm expecting to see Mr. Sweezy out there doing everything he's supposed to do, all the drills, not wincing in pain when he twists and turns, and his compatriot off his left shoulder, Mr. Marpet, at center. And I want to see what the exchange is between Marpet and Winston. I understand that they don't have Aaron Donald standing over Marpet at the time. I understand that. But I want to see fundamentals. And from Sweezy, I want to see good health because, Steve, the Bucs are counting on him right now. It's a big reason Marpet's being switched to center. Besides the fact they think Marpet will do a heck of a job, it's to get Sweezy in the lineup. And I want to see Sweezy healthy and not being limited in any way.
So you're looking for Sweezy to be part of all the drills, full effort all the time.
I don't want him limited. I think that would be a red flag for Buck fans. Buck fans don't like red flags in May, and I don't blame them. Lee, what are you going to be looking for OTAs?
Well, just a quick comment on Marpet going to center and Sweezy. I wrote about this earlier on JoeBucksFan.com this week. There's going to be a learning curve. Marpet, of course, as I noted, he was on Channel 8 with Paul Ryan Sunday night, and he admitted, he goes, I got to get used to communicating with everybody on the line. Before, it was just guys to my side. Now it's everybody. He's putting on poundage. You notice he's putting on some weight.
And as smart as Marpet is, there's still a transition.
Oh, of course. I mean, you can get a Rhodes Scholar in there and there'll still be a transition. So learning curve. So that's going to be interesting. Underwear football, I'm numb to it by now. I used to put stuff into it. I used to, you know, oh, this guy shines and this guy look good. Everybody I've written about that looks good in underwear football is like beer truck drivers now. So I put virtually, just as long as everybody stays healthy, that's all I give a hoot about.
Steve, one guy that will not be there for the next month, and there's a question mark whether he'll be there for training camp, is a guy that the Bucs traded up for in the draft. His name's Kendall Beckwith. He played middle linebacker at LSU, where we all know Quan Alexander came from, as a late-round pick, as a linebacker out of LSU. And Beckwith played the middle, and Quan Alexander has the middle, and he's not going anywhere.
No.
So, you know, he's probably the defensive face of the franchise, Quan, with all due respect to Gerald McCoy. And I don't even think McCoy's fighting that notion anymore. Just like he's not fighting that Jameis is the overall face of the franchise. So, Lee, Beckwith, they trade up for him. You trade up for a guy that's coming off a knee injury. You must think he's one heck of a player, Lee.
I agree. And I think that's – if anybody wants to grade the draft, which is really – although it's fun, it's irresponsible for another 3 years. What will make or break this draft, I think, is Beckwith. If he – as you said, they traded up for him. It's a gamble. I mean, that's a gamble. And Bucs officials, I had a Bucs official text me last week basically saying, I'll bet you this guy's going to be on the field come opening day. Now, where on the field, that's a different story. But if he turns out to be the stud they think he is, then that will determine if the Bucs had a hell of a draft or not. I really believe that.
Steve, it cost the Bucs a draft pick. They only had six picks as a result. They only have six draft picks coming in. Steve, that's not a big amount. And, you know, I think maybe they'll never tell you this, Lee, but maybe they felt a little hamstrung that they didn't have a fourth-round pick as a result of the deal. And maybe there was a running back in the fourth round. You're never going to hear that from Jason Light. Never.
No.
Nor should you. But, Steve, it cost the Bucs a pick.
I'm not sure I agree with any of you guys.
Now, what are you talking about?
What is going on here? You know, it's May. I love this. Because
you're giving up draft picks for a guy who may not be there until
the end of the third round. Just garbage picks. See all the stick carriers coming after you, Ira? All that background noise?
We just spent 20 minutes in our last podcast talking about a fifth-round draft pick in McNichols. Lee, now he's pissing on a fourth-round pick. What's going on with this guy?
The guy's hurt. Running backs succeed out of the fifth round all day long, left and right. Linebackers make an impact out of the late in the third round. It takes time. I'm not looking for Beckwith to do anything. And as far as this draft, I don't even remember now if it was Lee or you said it, I'm not sure. But to me, I think this draft was about weapons for Winston. That's what this draft was about. That was the theme going in. And you know what? If Howard works out and Godwin works out, holy crap, this offense is going to be incredible.
Fair.
And you've got this is a home run draft. I mean, because you know what? six picks, whatever. You got to hit two out of your first three picks.
Yes.
Every year. You have to hit two out of three in the first picks. Forget about the whole draft, everything else. Your first three picks, you got to nail those two out of three. Otherwise, you got the Bruce Allen, Mark Dominic era.
You got to hit 667. You got to be
out of the first.
You got to be better than Ted Williams over here.
Out of the first three guys.
Yes.
Now the whole draft's a different story. But you want to win. You can't go one for three in the
first
three picks.
Now would you include Beckwith and make it three out of four because he was a third rounder?
First of all, he's changing positions. Okay, he's changing positions. He's not playing middle linebacker. You said it yourself. Secondly, big learning curve for any rookie. Guy's coming off an ACL, an AC freaking L.
We know what it did to Revis. We know what that did to Revis.
I'm looking
in a Buck uniform. He wasn't the same that year.
I'd be very happy if Beckwith, first of all, if he's not on the PUP list to start the season, would be a small miracle. Two, I think he comes back after however many weeks, midseason.
Helps on special teams right away, right?
And he gets in the mix midseason and gets his feet wet on a good defense. I don't have high hopes for this year. Next year, he could be the steal of the draft. If he's a dominant linebacker and maybe changes the way the Bucs play the position of strong side in 2 years, but I don't see it happening now. I just don't see it.
That's where a look ahead, Lee, on draft weekend may pay dividends for the Bucs. Willing to take a gamble that he may or may not contribute in 2017, but he's a very good player when healthy, and you can't pass him up. Not only can't you pass him up, you trade up and you go get him. I can't knock that if he turns out to be a good player.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. You're right.
I'm just in the Godwin camp. I'm so focused on Godwin because, Lee had written about Godwin for months and months and months before the draft. Anybody reading JoeBucksFan.com knows that. If this guy's a real deal and Howard is two-thirds of the player we think he can be, wow. You've solved your depth problems. You've gotten faster. You've gotten more explosive. You've given more weapons for options for Dirk Cutter, who's really been limited. Ira, you know that Cutter, the great resume Cutter had coming in here. What did he have to work with last year? He's got chicken feed, it's bad. But now this is exciting.
Feed on the grease board, right? Written,
there you go.
Written in blood on Light's grease board.
Blood.
And Cutter's office, probably. Speed, speed, speed. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Lee. I don't think Godwin's considered a burner. Not necessarily
Ooh,
a
is.
Burner.
Yeah.
He is?
Yes.
Well, I thought his forte is catching balls in traffic where he could end up being a heck of a slot receiver.
He's got speed, and there have been games where he's moved away from people. The Rose Bowl, he went up against Dory Jackson, who was picked right before O.J. Howard.
Tennessee grabbed him. Yeah.
And if I wanted to play PFF tribe here, he outdid Dory Jackson. Yeah, woo! He outdid Dory. No, not really. I'm not going to.
You're in your F Troop days again.
Not F Troop, it's Tarzan movies.
Tarzan movies.
But anyway.
So you're saying Godwin's a burner.
Well, here's
the speed.
Here's the thing. Godwin, wasn't slow, wasn't fast. In college, was looked at as a good speed, not great speed guy. But Cutter mentioned this specifically, as did other people. They were very surprised by the combine time that he turned in. And the overall feeling was that maybe this guy has more speed than we think. But either way, he's got good speed. He's got more speed than Russell Shepard and the other clowns we've seen out there.
You won't even mention their names anymore, Steve. You will not mention those names anymore.
It's a long list. Josh Huff probably has more speed, and so does Dante Dye. But what does that mean if he can't catch the ball? That receiver position to me, and you made this point last week, Ira, that now we're arguing about number five receivers being important, that's a beautiful thing. So, yes, it was a beautiful thing that we're not discussing quarterbacks anymore or major positions, number five receiver. But reality is number five receiver has bitten this team in the ass 2 years in a row. And we have depth with a number four, number three, and Humphreys. And
could Humphreys Lee find himself the odd man out if Godwin turns out to be a top-notch player?
Well, I was shocked because I can't remember. Well, it was at one of the rookie minicamp practices. I might have been Jenna Lane. I can't remember. Someone asked Dirk Cutter, point blank, can Chris Godwin play the slot? Which, up till that time, I thought that was Humphrey's job, period, end of sentence. The way, as sensitive as Bucks are, anytime Steve or I even remotely write anything close to being negative about Adam Humphreys, we catch hell about it. They're very sensitive about Adam Humphreys. So I thought that was Humphreys lock, stock, and barrel. And when Cutter was asking, Chris Godwin plays slot, Cutter said, oh, sure he can, yeah. I'm like, I was taken aback when I heard that.
Well, what's Cutter supposed to say, too, Steve? You know.
Well, he went into detail, too. He goes, we had Mike Evans run some slot, and he went into great detail. And it almost sounded like, to me, if you talk to the Bucks, they always say about the offensive line, we're going to get our best five guys out there. Because apparently, yes. Warhop cross-trains these guys to be guards and tackles and centers. It almost sounded like, although Cutter didn't say it, we're getting our best receivers out there, period. That we're not going to pigeonhole them to slot, Y, X, O, M, what the hell ever, you know.
Steve, if they use a two tight end alignment extensively, which I think they will, I don't think that leaves a lot of room for the Adam Humphreys of the world to tell me where I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I don't know.
I also think Godwin fits the profile of a slot receiver.
And I'm not saying you're wrong, but where I'll say where I can't agree with you.
On principle.
I can't travel down the same road is Cutter. Until he really gets these guys on the field, which will start in OTAs when they can really run 7-on-7s and see a lot of stuff from an offensive standpoint. Until he gets these guys in the field, I think Cutter has an open book on, well, we don't know what we're going to do. You know, let's see what these guys really look like. And Cutter can run 4 wide. He can run 2 tight ends. We know he likes to pound the ball, but now he's got versatile threats out of the backfield, maybe more than between the tackles. We don't know what the offense is going to look like. I think to even speculate now is just, you know, who knows?
Hey, Lee, you know, I was thinking about this with Cutter. With all this weaponry at his disposal, Lee, mm-hmm. Now I'm serious about this. and a third-year quarterback who we all think is going to take a major step up. And Cutter already telling you, everybody, how his time, you know, is dispersed with, I don't know if you call it distractions, but media mm-hmm. obligations. Everything comes across Cutter's desk as a head coach. Lee, you know that. And as much as he saw what Mike Smith went through in Atlanta and Del Rio in Jacksonville when he was a coordinator, it's different when you're the head man. It's different.
Sure.
You find out things that you didn't even know you were responsible for. Hey, what time you want the bus to leave? Yeah, you know. And that literally comes across Cutter's desk.
Okay, Josh Freeman.
No toilet paper in the brother.
No toilet paper. So here's my question. And he's not.
Pasta.
And he's not nearly as hands-on as Schiano, you know. Doesn't it behoove, there's your word for today, behoove. Guys, doesn't it behoove Cutter to try to minimize as best he can all the things that take him away from football because, God knows, he loves to diagram plays and think of ways to create mismatches. And now he's got the chance to do it, Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. Look, if the White House can cut out press conferences, why can't Dirk Cutter, Lee? I don't want him to do it.
The NFL would come down on him.
Steve, my main point is, Dirk Cutter could have a lot of fun this year as the offensive coordinator and as the play caller.
He'll have fun if he's winning because, look, if they're losing, the fans are going to go bananas. If this team dared to go 3-5 like it did last year, there's going to be a riot. I mean, people just
riot and so block 9,
are so excited for this season. I mean, I'm not advocating riots.
Are you saying the stick carriers don't have requisite patience, young man?
Not for 3-5. I think the stick carriers, the hardest of the hardcore Bucks fans, the listeners of Bucks Uncensored with Justin Pawlowski, they have some patience, you know, to see how things evolve. But half a season in the crapper at 3-5, when they're all thinking 11-5, you know, that's
Javier would be beside himself in Panama, Lee. You don't even want to think about it if the Bucks got off to a slow start.
That's very true. Now, I'm going to go back to Godwin real quick. I want your feedback on this. One reason why I'm very excited about Godwin, and when I was talking earlier about Beckwith, and Steve kind of scolded me in a sort of way.
Scold me back.
No. You had a valid point. But, you know, what are you worried about Beckwith for? You never worried about Godwin and Howard. Reason why I'm not worried about Godwin, look who's coached him. Todd Monken. I don't think it's inaccurate to say Todd Monken fixed Mike Evans. So what he did for Mike Evans, working with Godwin, I'm comfortable with that. Your feedback?
Sounds like you're priming Todd Monken to be an offensive coordinator or a head coach years ahead.
Before I forget, I got to interject. We always ask people and most people listen on iTunes, we ask them to leave comments and reviews of the podcast within iTunes. It looks good. It feels good. We like the feedback. You just gave us another word of the day, behoove, and it's which means to bring great benefit to something. And for those who didn't understand. It's not everybody knows a word, you know.
Nothing called a dictionary.
We have a very intelligent audience, but maybe they didn't pull out the dictionary driving down 275.
You may continue, Mr. Isbit.
So Lee wants people to pull out the dictionary in 5 minutes.
MW.com, Merriam-Webster.
as far as that goes. You always give a couple of
words.
You're
not saying we should have a word of the day.
No. Right. You always give your own couple of educational words of the day. One of the, I'm looking here on iTunes, a May 10th comment from somebody named Doza says, Ira is a legend who uses his insider knowledge and experience to drop witty Bucks takes whilst also schooling his Joe counterparts with his superior vocabulary skills. So that is listed as a review of the podcast.
Now, hold on. You guys need a nice laugh, and so does our audience, and I got a quick story for you. Before we extol, and there's another one, before we extol my vocabulary, Steve, let's talk about spelling. I was in the sixth grade, gentlemen, and I made it to the finals of the school spelling bee.
Hold on, back to 1938. Go ahead. Right,
where I got knocked out, Lee, by the word, raisin.
Raisin.
Like a little raisinette that you get at the movie theater. I said R-A-I-S-E-N, and they put the horn down. And a giant hook came out, and I was off
You're
the
making
stage.
Me feel good.
I've never lived it down. Wait,
made it to the finals, and you lost on raisin?
900 kids in that school. I almost got a ribbon around my neck over there.
I almost won a spelling bee in the third grade by spelling Christopher Columbus correct.
Ooh, nice. Raisin, Steve. Raisin.
You got what'd you finish? Fifth place? Third place? Second place?
It knocked me down from second to also ran.
Raisin? I'll say this. They're already, by the time this pops Thursday afternoon, we're going to see a new hashtag on Twitter, no question.
Irv Raisin, well, what's it going to say?
Hashtag Raisin after anything. Raisin.
That's my story.
Wow.
Raisin was the word. I'll never forget it.
I got a word I've been waiting to drop for a month. It's going to blow your mind. All right, I got to wait for the right
drop
time,
it in, drop it in.
I'll never forget it. Raisin. Who loses on Raisin?
Now, Steve, back to Beckwith. You know, forget about Raisin.
Godwin. Godwin and Monkey.
I can spell Beckwith. B-E-C-K-W-I-T-H. Lee, for whatever reason, as many years as you and I have been watching the Bucks, and that's a long time. That position, you know, that strong side position, you forget about it. Al Singleton, you know, different guys. The guy they got from the
Colts.
Indianapolis, yeah. Cato June. Steve, you barely notice these guys on Sunday afternoons. I know they're doing a job. They're turning the plays back to the middle. You know, that weak side has always been the playmaker, but they're not playing the cover two anymore. So why can't strong side make some plays? And going forward, if Beckwith is a player from that strong side, I think it'd be a big boon to the Buck defense to get some plays from the left side of that linebacker core.
Beckwith is one of the reasons why provided he's healthy, I'm thinking we're going to see more 34 this year.
It always gets back to that, Steve. Man is obsessed with
it. He's got 34 on the brain.
He's got Rachel Watson, and he's got 34. I don't know which is one and which is two.
Yeah, let's not be ridiculous
here. If you can ever combine them, and you got Rachel Watson coming off the right edge, you know, the Kemper's in heaven over there.
I do not question Lee's priorities. I know exactly where Lee would lean. As far as Beckwith goes and strong side.
Did they say potentially, Steve, he could then be a three-down linebacker? Is that the feeling?
Mike Smith said he's a good blitzer. Yeah. I think that's all we really heard there. What's interesting is that one of the most telling comments of Dirk Koetter this offseason was a very subtle comment on Sirius XM NFL Radio. I wrote about it on Joe Bucks Fan. Koetter said that they gambled and won last year with Darryl Smith. He explained that, and there's a lot of roster junkies out there this time of year. Koetter explained that Darryl Smith allowed them to only carry five linebackers last year. And teams really always carry six. But the Bucks carried five for a lot of the season because Darryl Smith knew every position and could serve in any role at any time and was so fully cross-trained that they got away with an extra guy here or there. That's not going to happen this year. They'll have six linebackers, maybe even seven if Beckwith's health is shaky,
right,
but they don't want to take him off the roster. But hopefully, I think they think he can become that Darryl Smith type who can play the strong side but still play the other positions.
But in the short term, they won't have as much flexibility. Right?
In the short term, they won't. Yeah. But they would, to be fair, they wouldn't have found another Darryl Smith on the street who had experience in Mike Smith's defense, knowing all the positions and, you know, savvy veteran. You know, you need those guys.
Now, Lee, I'm going to say this to Mr. Isbitz, and I want you to back me up. On paper, and I've written this, Steve, and you know it's true. You can have all the weapons you want, and the Bucks have plenty. But, Lee, if the line's not doing its job, Winston won't have the time to find these guys. You know, Winston is not Tom Brady yet in terms of getting the ball out in 2 seconds. He's not. nor should we expect that. So I'm just saying, don't focus so much 100% on look at the weapons Winston has. You got to have the guys up front do their jobs, Lee, or it really undermines what you're trying to do.
Well, I'll go back to what Light said on Adam Schein's show on SiriusXM Radio. He said one of the reasons Jameis got so many got hit so often, he was back in the pocket waiting for guys to get open. They couldn't get open. So
we might be about to find out how much validity that had, Steve, because these weapons will separate a lot quicker than the guys the Bucs have had.
You would think. You would hope so. I mean, DeSean Jackson, I mean, come on. You know, it's
roaring coverage.
Well, what I love about this Bucs season is that some of the upgrades aren't just going to be upgrades. They should be so massive. Like, look at the upgrade, right? So Cameron Brate's going to get his snaps, but we're basically going from Luke Stocker to O.J. Howard. Should be massive in the upgrade category. You're looking at a lot of injuries at nose tackle last year and now going to Chris Baker, who's durable and is a legitimate pass rusher. Should be a massive upgrade on third down. And you're looking at DeSean Jackson. Look at the trail
from Bernard Reedy. broken dreams.
I'm going to censor myself. But look at the names who filled that position last year to DeSean Jackson. And it goes on.
Lee, DeSean Jackson's a guy whose very presence changes the geometry.
Should.
Yeah.
Even when he's not catching the ball.
I mean,
he's not
offense.
A guy that's going to catch 90 balls. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't have to.
No.
He changes everything.
Scares the defense.
Yeah, legitimately changes the whole offense. And that goes back to why I said, you know, you're predicting what the offense might look like. I mean, Cutter's got, he's like the kid with 10 new Lego sets. He doesn't know what he's going to build yet, you know. It looks that good. But the Sweezy stuff, and we started this with the OTA talk about Sweezy. I know you think you can see a lot from him, but, man, until he gets hit and really stresses and tests that back, guy's been contact-free for a couple of years, is a little scary.
Certainly a major focal point during training camp when the hitting starts.
Yes.
Along with the Aguayo folk battle, which I believe the Kemper will be following in a maniacal fashion.
Yes, we will cover that. I was thinking of actually hiring a Nick Folk Aguayo reporter, just focusing on that every day.
You know, Lee, you're going to have your ledger book out, right? There's one for Aguayo. There's there's a miss for Folk, you know.
Like Bob McGinn used to do. He used to, in OTAs, with clock hang times. In
OTAs.
I personally think Aguayo's got no shot. He's got to be perfect.
Wow.
If he's not perfect, he's done. Well, if we say, Ira.
On May 15th. Lee,
yes.
Well, I got
to
follow up question.
The battle over.
I'll tell you why. Because if we're all going to sit here and say this is the win now Buccaneers, Dirk Cutter's in win now mode.
Fans are in win now mode.
Fans are in win now. Glazers, everybody's win now. 9-7. Let's go. Well, you can't play win now with a kicker you don't even know can be decent in the NFL. So unless he really,
what if he outplays him?
Well, if he's got to be perfect. Otherwise, if they're tied or they both miss a couple of kicks in practice, preseason, whatever, you got to go with the vet.
I got a follow-up question for you guys.
Go ahead.
Ira first, because it's his podcast.
Absolutely.
I know Steve will chime in. We'll see if we can paint Mr. Contrarian here, see if we can paint him in a corner.
I love that.
$10,000 out of your own wallet. You're in Vegas. There's two bets. Who do you put the money on? Most likely to be on the Bucs roster come December. Doug Martin, Roberto Aguayo. Go. Ira.
Did you say December?
Did you say December or September?
December. Who is the most likely to be on the Bucs roster? $10,000 out of your retirement savings. Your wife is wondering why you're pulling that money out of the bank. You're in Vegas. Doug Martin or Roberto Aguayo? Which one of those two is going to be on the roster come December?
Martin. Because Cutter has laser focus on Aguayo right now. And I got to back Steve up because I think Cutter's feeling is, boy, I was very patient in 2016 with Aguayo. I didn't bug Jason Light like I could have in midseason. We got to make a change. I was patient. I didn't call the Glazers. They asked me what was going on. I said I support Aguayo.
How does that go?
I'm making
hey,
all this
hey
up.
Joel,
hey, Joel,
put down your spoon for a minute. What's going on with Aguayo here?
I think now while I
I'll say I don't think either of them is going to be there.
I understand. But,
you said which
chance?
One has the best chance.
All right. Well, first I'll say that. What a lousy bet. Is there some mobster hanging with a gun to my head says I got a bet?
It's your wife.
I got a bet. Most likely to be on the Bucks roster? It's a great question.
Yeah.
In December.
In December.
I'll say that. You know what? I'm going to put a little logic behind this.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to say Doug Martin.
Okay.
Because you got a better chance of those other running backs in front of him getting injured now between now and October 1st or
Well thought out,
when
Steve.
Martin
well
is available. Thought out. So if the Bucks are going to, we all firmly believe, unless something unique happens or the Glazers don't want to risk Martin getting hurt in preseason, unless something happens, he'll hang out on the fringes of the roster.
And you think Aguayo's toast in September.
And, you know, let's face it, if Jaquizz Rodgers gets the same foot injury he had last year and is out 6 weeks, and that happens in August, well, yeah, you better believe Doug Martin's going to be here. But I think it would, for both of them, it's going to take a small miracle.
So the
cash goes on 22.
You agree with Steve that Aguayo has to fundamentally be the better kicker than Folk?
Basically, if Aguayo misses one kick in preseason, he's gone. That's the way I look at it.
That's the way I look at it.
If he misses one kick, I don't care extra point. I don't care 45-yarder. By the way, he kicked. What's his longest kick?
43 yards.
That's you. I'm sorry. That's not good.
Does Light at that point go kicking and screaming, so to speak, saying I can't believe we're not giving this kid a second chance? Or Jason Light is man enough to say Dirk, it's your team.
I manned up. He already manned up. He told Adam Schein, he goes, look, I'm not bashful about if I made a mistake, admitting it, and moving on, and which he's done in the past.
All right.
And he. Aguayo was on very, very thin ice.
Toothpaste is out of the tube, man. They signed Nick Folk.
Steve, this is not a fourth-round draft pick. This is a guy you traded up for.
Nick Folk's the top kicker in Jets history. They paid him guaranteed money. He's here to – he believe Folk's coming in thinking it's his job, and he's probably
at
right.
At a certain point, draft pedigree will mean zero.
It's too late.
And I think we're already at that point.
You know, if you draft a defensive end, you give him 3 years to develop. If you draft a cornerback, you probably give him two. You draft a quarterback, you give him three. You draft a kicker, he gets one. And it's over for Aguayo unless he's really perfect and can snap out of it. All right, Ira. Now, of course, first we have to bow in thanks to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. We love them. They are so good. Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership, and you want to go to edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Now, Ira, I bought some group tickets from the Bucks before. Yeah, I think you could even do that 10 minimum. Bought them for some clients before. And I got a phone call from a ticket representative earlier this week. And he says, we're already sold out of group tickets for the New England game. We got a waiting list now for the Giants game. And a waiting list for the Bears game. That means what the waiting list means for people who don't understand. When in the world of group tickets, you put a deposit on your group tickets and eventually you have to pay up. And so the waiting list is for the people who say, I'm not paying up. Give me my money back and whatever.
Any chance that was really Ed Glazer on the line?
It was not Ed Glazer.
Representative?
Not Ed Glazer.
All right.
So, tickets are moving. The Bucks are moving some tickets. That's pretty impressive. It's May.
Is it still dependent very much on who the opponent is? Or is it the Buck euphoria?
Sure. It's still very dependent on the schedule. But you've got an interesting combination this year with a hot team. Hard Knocks coming, which is going to hype up a bunch of casual fans thinking about buying tickets. And you've got this incredible schedule, Patriots,
this is
Giants.
A luscious home schedule, Lee.
I think Steve referred to it as a Glazer-friendly schedule. You got the Bears, which is a huge fan base.
Giants
without saying.
Jets.
Patriots. Yeah, the Jets.
Is Dallas coming in?
Dallas is not coming in, but you've also got the defending Super Bowl team in Atlanta. And people are having trouble getting tickets for Falcons games up
in
Atlanta.
New England?
Well, of course, New England.
Yeah, New England.
So it's
a Glazer-friendly schedule.
It's a tremendous draw. But how much do you think the crowd, if they can start getting sold-out crowds? I know Dirk Cutter talks about it and whatever, but you were here covering the team wall-to-wall, day-to-day during the rise of this club. How much did that fan base, that rabid base filling the stadium every week, really you think did for that team?
It was a tremendous boost because the Bucks became a dominant home team. And we know until maybe last year, they've been a terrible
home team.
Awful.
Terrible.
Awful. Worse than the NFL.
You know, didn't Lovey go 0-8 first year? Yeah. 0-8 at home. That's hard to do. That's hard to
Impossible.
Do. You know, so, but Lee.
But when you don't want to score points in the first half.
Lee, you know, there's always a little lag between team success and showing up at the turnstile.
Understandable.
There's a lag.
Especially with the recent history of the Bucks.
And so the games that the Giants aren't coming to town, you know, when it's not the Giants. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see if they get above the 50-55. Our division teams usually do well, but there's a lag. But if the Bucks do as well as the three of us think they will, it won't be long before it's not going to be so dependent on the team that comes in. It's going to be we want to back up the Bucks. We don't care who they're playing. And I'll say this, Lee. We noticed a significant change last year, if not the numbers, in the passion.
Yes.
Even within the season. Guys, remember the end of the Denver game? I think it was raining or something.
Yeah.
And the only people left were the Bronco fans.
Yeah.
Remember that?
And they had quite a contingent.
On the east side of the stadium. Mm-hmm. And they all came down, remember? Yeah. And the Broncos are running out the clock and they're screaming.
Yep.
But then, Lee, for the Seattle game.
Yes.
And the New Orleans game. Tremendous, tremendous fan support.
That Seattle game,
and I think it really helped. The pass rush was hellacious those two afternoons. Mm-hmm. And I think some of it was from the crowd noise that has to be a staple now of Buck home games.
Interesting.
Well, it'll be interesting, Ira. You know, the fans are fans. They have an impact. I'm excited for some of the things that are going to be happening at training camp this year. There will be just a little tweak, a little advance, Ira. There will be a stick carrier's day at training camp, which means
you guys always come up with stuff.
Justin
man.
Is called. We're calling it a training camp takeover, where the hardest of the hardcore fans are going to be unleashed on training camp to really give the team that same support. When you're talking about the Seahawks game, same support in training camp. It's going to be like nothing's anybody's ever seen in the
and
NFL.
People who are not aware of this movement. Are going to be overwhelmed that day, Steve.
It will make a big imprint on the players, which should be exciting. You know, let them know what's coming. And I can't wait for those dates to come out so we can help promote a date. Training camp takeover. It's going to be sick.
You guys are always coming up with something, Lee. Always
Steve, he's the brains behind
it. You know, Steve's got something to send me, you know, to the game one opener on the road against Miami. I'm going on the road.
Well, we know you love the people, Ira. You love
and
the people.
I'm going to press a little flesh. All male flesh. Male flesh.
Your wife will be nearby, your lovely bride. Is that
you know what? Maybe we'll go together as a couple.
Do you want me to edit that out, Ira, the all male flesh, or should I leave that in the podcast?
I don't know. I don't know if that gets me in more trouble or less trouble. That could start some problems over there.
You know what? We'll just leave it and see what happens.
I throw out the Miko tennis event. That's down the line. That could happen.
Until
Steve told me that she was a 5.5, and I said, hamana, hamana, hamana.
I used the term, I think I used it on JoeBucksFan.com. I know I did on Twitter. I might mispronounce the name. When Steve told you what Miko's rating, tennis rating was, you turned blanche.
I froze in my tracks, Steve.
Ira, before we sign off, two very super fast questions. One.
Three. I got one, too.
All right, you go first, Lee.
Chris Godwin playing for Todd Monken. Discuss that. Todd Monken, he fixed Mike Evans. There were fans last year at this time were on Twitter saying, you know, the Light got the wrong receiver. They should have got Beckham. You don't hear anybody saying that now.
Monken definitely had a big effect on Mike Evans. Besides his technical acumen, there's another one. Steve, Monken doesn't mince words, and I like that. It's sort of like Cutter with Jameis Winston. No coddling. And Monken doesn't coddle Mike Evans.
No.
And Mike Evans might have thought, hey, I caught 80 balls in 2015, you know, and I averaged 15.5. And when the season ended, Monken looked at Evans and goes, you got to do a lot better, Mike. You dropped too many balls. Your focus wasn't there. You didn't reach the end zone. What a difference in Mike Evans in year three. I give Monken part of the credit for that. And Evans got to get a lot, too.
Sure, sure.
For accepting it. And I tell you what, he's got a lot to work with Godwin. His reputation, his resume is excellent at catching the ball in traffic. That's why I think he's kind of built to be a slot receiver, work the middle of the field. Don't go to sleep on Godwin. He could be a big factor this
year. I'm not sleeping. All right, mine are really, really quick answers, Ira. First, question from Javier in Panama.
There's my man.
On the podcast. He says, Don Ira, comma, will you go with pewter or red leather interior in your 2018 Ed Morse Cadillac?
It's got to be red. I'm a red type of guy. Red means power. Red means passion. Pewter's for the Bucks. Red's for Don Ira. It's going to be red. And by the way, Steve, see if you can help that little XT5 along. Let's see what
a
you
crossover.
Can do.
You want a crossover?
Yeah, I
want
now? A crossover.
All right, you're going big. All right, Ira. So we'll let Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa know that. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The one other question I had for you, quick answer. Do you want the Miko tennis match to happen or not? Because I can make it happen. If you really want to, think about it or give me an answer. You want to think about it still?
Give me a couple of weeks to drop 10 pounds, Isbits, and then it's on. It's on,
all
right, baby.
So we'll
I want the stick carriers out. I work well under pressure.
We'll reconvene this in June. We'll discuss the tennis match again in June. Maybe we can set up a bye week square off, something like that.
And, of course, you know, the heat. Miko's a lot younger than I am. She's got a lot going for her. You know, I'm already starting with the excuses, Lee. That's what sports writers do.
I mean, you got at least 60 years on her. All right, Ira, we will see you next time.